I've been trying to go to church some, but I keep getting intercepted by the ball game on TV, or is that code 303? Didn't Peter fish for me? And if only the good die young,
good morning, sweet, beautiful Texas. If only the good die young. One of my favorites there from Max Stalling. Kicking things off for us on the Lone Star Outdoors Show, presented by Lone Star Beer and Hoff Power Polaris. I'm Cable Smith. So glad to be here talking hunting, fishing, the great outdoors, and all that implies with you fine folks. There's no place that I'd rather be than right here with y'all, and we've got an awesome show lined up for you today. So, you know what to do. Pour yourself another cup of coffee. Pull that stool up a little closer to the old campfire, because off the top, with archery season fast approaching, we'll talk some bow hunting and bow maintenance with longtime bow technician and competitive shooter Chris Lutzinger of Cinnamon Creek Ranch. Then we take the hunt to the feral hogs with outdoor writer Gain C. Young as we discuss his book, The Complete Guide to Hunting Wild Boar and Javelina. So get ready for some swine eradication here in just a little bit. After that, it's part two of our two-week mini-series on wilderness survival and field medicine when Dr. Joe Alton, a.k.a. Dr. Bones, makes his return to the show. And we'll talk field care for broken bones, heat exhaustion, hypothermia, and head trauma. So some valuable insight coming up with Dr. Bones here momentarily. Then we will wrap things up by talking some waterfowling with G&H Decoys, Duck G. His family has owned and operated G&H for, gosh, over 80 years now. They are one of the last American-made decoy companies. And we'll talk some waterfowling with the great Duck G. And we'll give away one of G&H's brand new Navigator motion decoys. This thing's pretty sweet. Duck's going to tell us all about it at the bottom of the hour, and we're going to give one away. So stay tuned for that. What else here? Oh, yeah. Man, I had the pleasure of going to ICAST in Orlando, Florida last week. My first time to go to this event, and it's the biggest fishing trade show in the world every year. And all of the industry leaders were there. You know, if they make a product having to do with fishing, they probably had a booth there. And then, of course, all of the personalities from the Elite Series, Major League Fishing, and various other folks like Bill Dance, Hank Parker. Even I ran into Captain Wild Bill from Deadliest Catch. So it was a pretty cool event. Got to meet and visit with a lot of fine folks and so many people who've actually been guests on our show before. So overall, two thumbs up for ICAST. Even the wife and my 18-month-old son loved it because they got to go to Disneyland and meet Mickey Mouse while Dad was over at ICAST. So overall, great event. Strongly recommend that you check it out next year. What else do we need to mention here? Oh, how can we forget? Our July Photo of the Month contest is wrapping up. You've got 2 days left to submit your July Photo of the Month entry. I want to see your best hunting and fishing photo. Post it on our Facebook page for a chance to win our grand prize for this month, which, of course, is a Bond Arms 45 ACP backup. This sweet little Derringer pistol really packs a wallop, and we're going to give that away to this month's Photo of the Month winner. Just send me your photo. We'll get the finalists posted on our website on Monday, the 28th, and then you guys and gals can vote for your favorite listener photo. And also, remember that our 12 monthly winners from 2014 will square off for a chance to join me on a trophy, axis, or black buck hunt down at the lovely Coons Canyon Ranch in Rock Springs, Texas. So that's our 2014 Photo of the Year grand prize. So send in those photos every month for a chance to win one of our monthly prizes plus our 2014 grand prize hunt package. Also, last thing here, Don't forget that August is Texas Trophy Hunter Extravaganza time. We've got three great hunting shows coming up. The first one takes place in Houston next week at the Reliant Energy Center. That's the 1st through the 3rd. Then we've got Fort Worth at the Will Rogers Center, August 15th through the 17th. And then San Antonio, the 22nd through the 24th at the Alamo Dome. And I've got free tickets, general admission tickets to the event, plus Texas Trophy Hunter koozies that we're going to give away right now today to the first two people to text in the word trophy. That's trophy to 214-289-7807. That's trophy to 214-289-7807. And I'll send you a general admission ticket that you can use for any of the three shows, plus a Texas Trophy Hunter koozie. Anyway, let's knock out a quick break. When we come back, we've got to get that bow tuned and ready for archery season. It's right around the corner, and we'll do that next with Cinnamon Creek Ranch's Chris Lutzinger. You're listening to the Lone Star Outdoor Show.
I'm Craig Boddington. I'd like to invite you to become a member of Dallas Safari Club, one of the world's leading hunting and conservation organizations. As a member, you'll receive Game Trails magazine, a monthly newsletter, and invitations to our monthly meetings and special activities. Join Dallas Safari Club, an international organization based in Dallas, supporting hunting and conservation worldwide. For more information, call 800-9-GO-HUNT or visit our website at www.biggame.org.
Rockwall Gun Club is North Texas' premier shooting facility, offering both indoor and outdoor ranges, including a unique 500-yard rifle range. If shotgunning's your thing, then check out the 18-station clay course. Opening summer 2014, Rockwall Gun Club is offering special introductory, family, and corporate membership rates for founding members. Located at 15950 State Highway 205, you can also visit rockwallgunclub.com or call 972-215-6902. Rockwall Gun Club, the private shooting experience.
At Frost, we could talk to you about our 24/7 online banking. Or we could talk to you about our more than 1,100 ATMs across Texas. We can even talk to you about our mobile banking app that lets you pay bills, transfer funds, and deposit checks from anywhere. But at the end of the day, there's nothing we enjoy more than to just talk to you.
Thank you for calling Frost. How may I help you?
We're here with the technology and convenience you want and the service you deserve. Frost. Banking, investments, insurance.
If you're in the market for a firearm, you need to know about STI International. Based out of Georgetown, Texas, they're 100% employee-owned and offer the best warranty and customer service in the business. STI is renowned worldwide for exceptional fit and function. The patented 2011 high-capacity system proved so successful in shooting competitions that over 80% of competitors used STI guns or pistols built on STI frames at the USPSA National Championships. To see their full line of premier pistols, visit STIguns.com or check them out on Facebook at STI Firearms. STI, the continuing evolution of the 1911.
Larson Electronics is a Texas-based lighting company that's been outfitting the United States military since the 1960s. And while they continue to support our troops, they also now have over 200 lights ideal for your hunting and fishing needs, like the 35-watt HID Camouflage Go Light Striker with remote that's 15 million candle power in the palm of your hand. Ideal for predator and hog hunting, they also have remote-controlled floodlights, feeder lights, and LED boat lights. Visit LarsonElectronics.com and go Texan with Larson Electronics for all your lighting needs.
Was I alone or in a hunter's dream? 'Cause the moment of truth was here and now. I felt his touch, I felt his guiding hand. The buck was mine forevermore.
All right, there's the Motor City Madman, the Backstrap Assassin, everybody's favorite Uncle Ted Nugent bringing us back on the Lone Star Outdoor Show. Fred Bear is the name of that one. I'm Cable Smith, by the way. Thank you so much for sharing a part of your weekend with me. I sincerely do appreciate you. We are about to really get things going here with bow season only, well, about 2 months out now. Before we talk a little archery, this segment is brought to you by Sendero Seed Company, Texas premier seed company offering anything and everything you need to keep your whitetail herd happy and healthy. Check them out at senderoseed.com or call my buddy Rob Hughes
at 1-877-610-SEED today. Sendero Seed Company for all your planting needs. Well, our first guest this morning is sitting here in studio with us. Many of y'all are probably familiar with Cinnamon Creek Ranch, a great archery facility and wild game processing. He is the online sales manager and longtime competitive archer. It's my pleasure to welcome Chris Lutsinger to the show.
Glad to be here.
Well, I am glad to have you. And I guess, first of all, how's doing archery full-time? I know you recently quit your what I would call real-world job, and now you're working at Cinnamon Creek Ranch full-time.
It's awesome. It's a dream come true.
Oh, I'm sure it is, my friend. And how long have you been affiliated with Cinnamon Creek Ranch?
I've been on their shooting staff for about 3 years. I've done archery for 30-plus years. I love it.
Right, right. And now you're the full-time online sales manager of Cinnamon Creek's new online store, which we'll talk a little bit more about here momentarily. But like we said, September is right around the corner. That means two things for a lot of Texans. Number one, they're thinking about dove hunting. Number two, they're thinking about bow hunting. And the bow opener is actually a little earlier this year, September 27th. Put it on your calendar. And I know that, Chris, there are a lot of folks out there who shoot year-round like yourself. But there are plenty of folks out there like me who they probably put the bow up come late spring, especially after turkey season, and then we don't get it back out until August rolls around. So for those of us out there, and let's start with an old bow. You know, some people trade it in every year. Most folks probably don't. So when you get your bow back out, you shake the dust off. What are some general maintenance tips that you could offer us as far as getting that thing back into shooting shape, or at least making sure that it's still in shooting shape?
Well, most of the time what I see, the bow will come in and the strings are the number one problem. If a string is more than 2 years old, I would go ahead and have it replaced. The strings will stretch. You know, and you may drag it across a barbed wire fence or broadhead, you know, cut a couple of strands, and that's just not safe. Mm-hmm. So we build strings there. We can order strings in, but you definitely want to get a new set of strings put on there. Mm-hmm. You also want to keep your strings waxed. They'll pick up dirt, grime over time, and those fibers, as they're rubbing together, they'll actually start fraying those strands.
Right. Yeah, and that was my next question, is how often should you wax your bow strings?
Well, it kind of depends on how much you're using it, how much you're shooting. I kind of just kind of go by a field test. If you're not feeling any wax on that string, it's probably a good time to go ahead and do it. So, but every couple of times you shoot, it's a good idea to go ahead and wax it.
Uh-huh. Okay. Any other things as far as, you know, breaking the old bow back out before we talk about, you know, setting up a new bow?
Well, another thing is your arrows. You definitely want to check your arrows. Most people now are shooting carbon arrows. Mm-hmm. And you want to do the flex test on them. You want to go ahead and grab either end of it, not the tip,
right?
But grab either end of it and kind of put a good bend in it and see what it does. You'll hear it crack if it's got a deformity in it. Mm-hmm. But if you're shooting really good, you know, you're going to slap arrows together and that'll that'll do it.
Yeah, I know quite a few of mine have been cracked over the years shooting at all these damn rabbits that run around my yard eating all my plants, garden, all that stuff. So those retaining walls, they don't have a lot of give in them.
No.
But if you are getting a new bow, talk about as far as, you know, setting that up. And I guess, first of all, what are the tips of the trade as far as, you know, knowing your draw length and what poundage you should be shooting?
I definitely recommend going to a pro shop. They're going to know what they need to do to measure your draw length. A lot of times you can kind of ballpark it and say, well, I'm 6 foot tall, and you divide that by 2.5, and that'll get you what your draw length is. That's kind of just a ballpark. Mm-hmm. A lot of the bows that we have now, they are not necessarily draw length specific anymore. There are bows out there that'll adjust a draw length from 15 inches to 31 inches, the same bow, which is unheard of 2 or 3 years ago.
Sure.
But you just kind of, you're going to shoot a lot better if the bow fits you. Mm-hmm. But I do recommend going to a pro shop. We can look at it and see what needs to be done, what needs to be adjusted, and just kind of tweak it.
Sure, sure. Do you agree with Ted Nugent as far as so many, and especially in Texas, because in Texas we have more bow hunters than in any other state, but it seems like so many people pick up the sport only to get out of it after a year or two. And Ted always says, well, that's because they're shooting a bow that's way too heavy for them. They shouldn't be drawing that much poundage.
To some extent. Guys, unfortunately, have kind of that He-Man macho thing. They think they need to, and I fell for it too. I wanted to get that speed out of my bow. I used to shoot 80 pounds. And about 2 years ago, I realized, you know, I want to keep shooting a bow for, you know, far into my 80s if I can.
Right.
And doing that, you need to drop your bow weight a little bit. Shoulder injuries are very common in our sport. I shoot 70 pounds max on my bow.
I think I'm shooting 64 right now.
And 64 pounds with a good, well-tuned bow, with a sharp broadhead, the correct weight arrow will penetrate and kill any animal on a North American continent.
Right.
You brought up Ted Nugent. Chimaine Nugent killed giant African animals with a 36-pound compound. You know, right. It's all about the arrow and the broadhead combination and putting it where you need to put it.
Right, right. Well, and now today, I mean, there's so many options as far as sights and rest and, you know, the whole nine yards. What are some of the more popular sights and rest out there right now? And I know that for rest, I mean, you got drop away, you've got whisker biscuits, you've got, you know, so many different things.
Yes. Years back, there seemed to be a lot more variety in rest, but they all pretty much did the same thing. Now it's kind of broken down to you either got your full containment, which is a whisker biscuit or a Bowtech hostage type rest, or you've got your dropaways. Almost nobody shoots the prong rests anymore like we're back in the 80s. Mm-hmm. Dropaway can be a much more accurate way of setting up your bow. That rest will drop out of the way of the arrow as it's passing the riser, so you don't have that contact of your veins or your feathers anymore. Whisker biscuit is a great hunting rest because you can load your arrow on that. You could turn your bow upside down if you had to. I know most of us out there still get buck fever, and if you don't, you probably should just give up the sport.
Right.
But you've got that big whitetail or mule deer or even a hog walking by under your stand, you can get the jitters, and you know you don't want that arrow falling off the rest. Mm-hmm. It's going to make noise, and you know then you
got to
get it back
on. So what
are
you using in the field right now?
I'm shooting a dropaway. I shoot a QAD HDX.
Right, right. And I just upgraded to a dropaway rest last year. I think I've been bow hunting 5 or 6 seasons now. I have a dropaway on my Elite Hunter, and I just got the brand new Elite Energy 32. I'm probably going to have you put a drop away on that one as well. So is a whisker biscuit more of an entry-level rest, in your opinion?
Well, and some people will say that it is kind of an entry-level, and it is. It's great for youth, you know, early shooters, early beginning shooters coming in and shooting it. It is great.
It's more affordable, too, I'm pretty sure.
Yes, yes. And, but, you know, one thing that people say is, oh, well, you know, you lose some speed or it's not as accurate. I've seen guys shooting the whisker biscuits in our men's league, and they're winning tournaments. you know, they're shooting almost perfect scores with them. So it's the Indian shooting the arrow.
Right, right. and as far as sights go, I mean, there's so many options out there as well. I think I have True Glow on my bow right now.
It's a good bright sight. Mm-hmm. True Glow has been around for a long time. They make a very durable sight, and especially the brightness is what's really good because – you know, you can't shoot game animals before more than 30 minutes before sunrise, but pigs like to come out earlier than that.
Right.
And I like shooting those pigs.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
And that bright sight light or the bright sight pins really help out.
Uh-huh. And for the non-competitive shooter out there, so take someone like me, for example, who fully takes advantage of archery season, but, you know, I don't shoot in a league. I practice, you know, a couple times a month. And then as we get it closer to the season, I'm out there pretty frequently, but how many pins and at what distance would you recommend for, you know, for me?
Well,
because I don't think I'd ever shoot anything outside of 40 yards at my skill set right now.
And a 3-pin sight would probably be perfect for you. Mm-hmm. You know, you've got a flat shooting bow, you know, 20, 30, 40 yard pins, you're good. If you had to, you know, you can bracket your pins where you can shoot, you know, the deer comes out at 25, well, you just hold your 20-yard pin a little bit high.
Sure.
You're still going to be on the deer, and you'll still be in the vitals.
Right.
I have tried a single-pin sight that's a movable sight for shooting longer distance. I loved it, but I did lose a few animals as far as lose opportunities with it. But it makes you a little bit more accurate when you're shooting at odd distances. You don't have to say, well, I think he's 23, where do I put my pin? You just set your sight for 23 yards, and you put the arrow where it goes.
Right.
But for this area, for Texas, and most whitetail hunting situations, a three-pin sight's adequate, more than adequate.
Well, Chris, any other tips you can offer us as far as getting that bow ready to rock and roll for September 27th? And keep in mind, you know, we're talking about the average bow hunter here, the average Joe. Not all of us are bow techs, so.
I would recommend having your bow paper tuned. It's a good... it kind of gives you a good place to begin. If your bow is tuned perfectly with a field tip arrow, then it's going to make it a lot easier to sight in with broadheads. A lot of people shoot a mechanical broadhead because their bow's not tuned, and they don't really know that. They just say, well, this broadhead doesn't shoot good. And it's mainly because their bow isn't sighted in, isn't tuned. So you paper tune, which means you're shooting through paper at 5 feet, and we can do that. Any pro shop can do it for you. You shoot your arrow through that paper and you determine which way the terror goes. And that's why I recommend going to a pro shop, because looking at that, you can tell which, you know, you may need to twist a string. You may have cam lean. You know, if your bow is 4 or 5 years old, things wear out. Even the best bow on the market. Over time, if you're shooting a lot, things will wear out. But I always recommend getting your bow tuned perfectly. And then you know where that arrow is going to go at any given moment.
Well, Chris, Cinnamon Creek Ranch has been the official archery shop of our show for, gosh, I think 4 years now. And also Wild Game Processing. Joe and Tracy do an amazing job with Wild Game as well. But something else that's brand new and very cool that y'all are rolling out is the complete online archery store, which you will be overseeing. And the cool thing is now... y'all can reach not only outside of the North Texas area, outside of Texas, but nationwide.
Yes, we'll have all of our products that we sell in the store, excluding pro shop only bows.
Right on.
We can get your accessories, we can get your arrows, we can get your sights, rest. We can even set up bows that are, as long as they're not a pro shop only bow, we can set them up, get them paper tuned, ship them out to you.
Right.
Awesome. Wherever you are in the country.
Yeah, and y'all actually just fletched a dozen arrows for me. And overnighted them, and I was shocked, honestly, at how fast they got here.
We aim to please.
That's right. That's right. Well, everyone check it out, cinnamoncreekranch.com. I'm going to have you stick around. We're going to go play with my bow and get it ready for, well, not just September 27th, because I drew an elk tag in New Mexico.
I'm so jealous.
And so I'll be going up there early September and see if I can't get within 40 yards of one of those big bulls. So we appreciate you stopping by the studio, brother.
Oh, thank you. Thanks for having me, brother.
All right, there he goes, our good friend Chris Lutzinger of Cinnamon Creek Ranch. Well, let's knock out a quick break here. When we come back, we'll talk some hog hunting, and we'll take the hunt to the hogs instead of just waiting for them to show up at the feeder. And that's coming up next with outdoor writer Dane Young. You're listening to the Lone Star Outdoor Show. Sunrise brown, lightning in your shoes. It's 1 foot in the ether. With the LA County Blues.
It's the Hunters Extravaganza presented by the Texas Trophy Hunters Association at the NRG Reliance Center. Next weekend, August 1st through the 3rd, see the latest blinds, feeders, rifles, bows, optics, ATVs, outfitters from all over, and more. Compete in the annual deer competition and 3D archery tournament. Meet Bruce Mitchell from Swamp People, Jerry Campbell from American Hoggers, and Dr. James Grohl. Lots of family fun, including Joe Martin's Snakes of Texas. The Hunters Extravaganza, next weekend at the NRG Reliance Center. Go to huntersextravaganza.com for more info.
Did you know there's a bank that will pay you to be its customer? That's right. Lone Star Ag Credit is a cooperative, and since it's owned by its stockholders, pays millions in dividends each year. That's free money to every borrower. Lone Star Ag Credit serves people all over Northeast Texas, assuring you competitive interest rates on real estate loans, rural home loans, livestock and farm and ranch loans. Contact Lone Star Ag Credit today at 800-530-1252 or on the web at lonestaragcredit.com. Equal housing lender.
Whitetail season has come and gone, y'all, but that doesn't mean it's time to stop hunting. Coons Canyon Ranch in Rock Springs, Texas specializes in exotics such as axis deer and black buck. Coons Canyon offers quality animals at a price the working man can afford. Military personnel, police, and firefighters get 10% off the total price. Lodging is available upon request, as are other exotic species. Visit CoonsCanyonRanch.com for your next exotic trophy hunt. That's CoonsCanyonRanch.com.
Hey friends, Cable Smith here for DFW Safes. We all know that our guns are a big part of our lives, from grandfather's old 12-gauge to that trusty tack driver of a deer rifle. And DFW Safes is North Texas' premier safe dealer, specializing in Rhino, Bighorn, Huntsman, Heritage, and Fortress safes, to name a few. They're family-owned and operated and have over 24 years' experience in the safe and installation business. They even have commercial safes for your business and scratch-and-dent safes for the most frugal of gun owners. Visit DFWSafes.com to set up your delivery today. That's DFWSafes.com or call 817-715-1068. At LSC Trailer Sales, we offer a full line of utility trailers, from small single axle trailers to heavy equipment trailers, ATV trailers, car haulers, landscape trailers, cargo trailers, truck beds, and more. We can special order a custom trailer specific to your needs and have the ability to customize standard models in-house. LSC Trailer Sales is here to assist you with any questions you might have about trailers. Call 940-484-5500 or visit us at lsctrailersales.com. Finally, quality trailers at affordable prices in Dallas-Fort Worth.
Hey y'all, Cable Smith here for Tioga Retrievers. As bird hunters, we expect the most out of our gun dogs. And that's why I sent my sweet girl Belle to Angie and Tim Becker at Tioga Retrievers. Not only were her manners and obedience spot on in the blind and in the field, but Belle picked up over 200 birds in her first season. So whether you want a well-rounded hunting dog or just a well-mannered companion for the home, Tioga Retrievers has you covered. Located in Aubrey, Texas, visit TiogaRetrievers.com. That's T-I-O-G-A Retrievers.com.
Hey y'all, this is Colorado Buck. Thanks for listening to the Lone Star Outdoor Show.
He said he ain't no hound, he's a blackmouth cur. He'll do what you got in mind. He gonna tree any coon or catch any hawk, pin any steer in sight. He'll watch over your youngins and defend them until he breathes his last breath. Now seen a few dogs.
Blackmouth Cur is the name of that one there from our good friend Justin Bowerman, bringing us back on the Lone Star Outdoor Show, presented by Lone Star Beer and Hoff Power Polaris. I'm your host, Cable Smith. So great to be here with you fine folks today. I do appreciate you tuning in as we're about to talk some hog hunting. But first, this segment is proudly brought to you by Dallas Safari Club, the leader in big game conservation. To become a member and to get involved with DSE, visit www.biggame.org. Well, let's go ahead and bring on our next guest here. He's actually, speaking of Dallas Safari Club, he is the editor of their publication, Game Trails. He's also a very well-known outdoor writer. It is my pleasure to welcome Gain C. Young to the program.
Well, thanks. Glad to be here.
It is certainly my pleasure. And first of all, just, you know, a little bit about you. I know you blog for Outdoor Life's website. You're the editor of Dallas Safari Club's Game Trails publication. And you've written a bunch of popular books, like the one we'll get into here in just a little bit, on hog hunting.
Okay.
But before we do that, you know, tell us a little bit about yourself as a hunter, and, you know, how you got into outdoor writing.
Okay. Well, like most people that grew up in Texas, I knew somebody that went hunting all the time. My dad went to a deer lease as part of his business, and he would take me out there and always enjoyed. That was in East Texas, and just enjoyed hanging out there, but I never really shot anything, never really did anything, but I liked the whole camaraderie that I saw out there, and I liked the idea. I got a degree in history when I went to St. Edward's University. Mm-hmm. And growing up, I was just always a fan of reading Rourke and Hemingway and, you know, Jim Corbett, things like that. And always wanted to do it, but never really saw the opportunity to go. The occasional deer hunt a friend would take me on. So I would sell history articles while I was in college. And while I was in college, a friend, Joel O'Shoney, and I got drawn to go to Mad Island down on the coast for alligator hunt.
Oh, wow.
And And I called up the Dallas Zoo and bugged the herpetologist there. I was like, I got one chance at this. Tell me how to do this. And he said, get some cow lungs and ferment them for about a week in a bucket. And I said, okay. And so did that. And long story short, I got a 12-foot, 4-inch alligator, which was the biggest ever taken off the refuge. And I think still stands. So when I came back, my friends were like, you've sold articles, history articles. Why don't you try selling a hunting article? And I said, well, I guess the selling process is about the same. So I did that, and it paid three times as much. So I was like, well, forget academia. I'm going to try to make a living doing this.
There you go.
Yeah, so kind of started out, I was a teacher for 14 years and just would write for anybody that would let me. I had mostly history articles and magazines like Sporting Classics, but in time it got to where I could quit teaching and write full time. And I hate to admit it here in 2014, but one of my big coups was a few years ago I got to interview Vladimir Putin about hunting. And that was a pretty big story, made me a pretty big name, and I kind of ran with that the best I could to get more exposure. And like you said, I've done some books, and I've gotten to go on some great trips.
Yeah, yeah. And I've read that that interview with Vladimir Putin. That was great stuff. And
you know, on that, to talk about that rather than pigs just a second, I really hated how that hit, because it was a world story in that some small town outdoor writer, teacher, got an interview with Putin, and no one focused on what he said, which was, you know, you got the second most powerful man in the world saying hunting is the most viable conservation tool we have. And the story was, you know, hey, look, this guy got an interview. And I was like, well, look what he said. So yeah. That was very disappointing.
Understandably. But and then you also blog for Outdoor Life. How long have you been doing that?
About six different editors. No, probably since 2000, and the focus of what I write about has changed dramatically. It seems like every time they don't have a big turnover, but people are shuffled around. And when I started out, it was just the most off the wall things I could find, and now I'm pretty regulated to just doing odd news stories here and there.
Yeah.
An example today, I wrote about how poachers in Africa are starting to kill vultures, and in addition to rhinos and elephants, because the vultures, you know, give away their presence. But nobody's going to come to the defense of them poisoning 150,000 vultures in the last two decades, because, you know, they're just not a sexy animal like rhinos and elephants.
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah, I mean, vultures are kind of viewed as vermin, like many ranchers and farmers look at feral hogs here in much of the southern part of the United States. And that's kind of what I wanted to talk about today. Obviously, us hunters hold hogs, you know, in a little bit higher esteem. You even wrote a book on the issue, The Complete Guide to Hunting Wild Boar and Javelina. And so that's what I want to talk about here. I guess, first of all, tell us a little bit about the background of that book.
Well, I was originally contracted to write that book about hunting simply in Texas. And that fell through, and I decided to just expand it into all of North America. And I put it out myself. It's available on Kindle. And it's actually, from what I understand, one of the best-selling hunting books designed specifically for the Kindle format. I've really been very pleased with sales. Of course, there's a lot of people that still want me to print it, but there's a lot more people, hunters out there on Kindles than I thought. So.
Right.
Good. I focus mainly, I started, because of my history background, I started with some interesting anecdotes about when they first came to the United States and how numerous they were then and how dangerous they were. I have a lot of quotes from different people in the 1700s and the 1800s and in their encounters with them. And they're probably the original invasive species, I guess, historically anyway. They've been here since Columbus. So.
Wow. Yeah.
And they don't seem to be going anywhere. So
no.
I don't think undo 500 years of them being here.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, you know, clearly in Texas, hunting feral hogs over a feeder or, you know, some kind of bait pile is probably the easiest way to, you know, put some pork down. But what about for those hunters out there who don't have a lease or a ranch? Maybe they're, you know, resigned to having to hunt public land or WMAs, and you can't put bait out. So I guess, you know, walk us through what you found in this book as far as what you would be looking for, signs, and then areas where these animals are likely to bed. Because let's face it, you're going to be hunting them during the day, and you're really going to be taking the hunt to the feral hogs at that point.
Well, I would say with any WMA, everybody, the people that are managing these places know where the hogs are, and it's pretty easy to see where they've been. The managers of these areas want these things gone, just like, you know, I've always said hogs are, you know, they're a double-edged sword. They're a great game animal, but they're so destructive at the same time that we really need to clamp on the numbers. I think the last was, there was about 4 million in the state of Texas, estimated.
Yeah. Which that's
gone up from 2 million just, you know, a decade or so ago. The first thing I would do is, of course, scout the area that you're going to hunt. And then I would also ask the managers where they are. Of course, water sources are always really good. Food sources are really good. It tends to be the most people that hunt them find them near water in the middle of the day, and then they track them from there, or find where they're bedding down, and you can go from there.
Right, right. Well, yeah, and so when you're looking for those areas where they're bedding, I mean, you just walk us through that. I mean, just a little more insight into, you know, for the guy who's never hunted them before, is interested in it, you know, what is he going to be looking for as far as bedding areas for feral hogs?
Just anything that, you know, they don't sweat. So they have to stay cool, thus they roll around in mud constantly. So you're going to look near water, you're going to look near food, and they have to have some kind of shade. Even down in, you know, South Texas, which is gets up to about, you know, 110 degrees, they're finding some kind of shade, even if it's just a rotten log. Hogs are just like any other animal. If they have water and food stores, they're not going to travel very far. They're just going to wipe it out and move on. I'm sure, like most of your listeners know, they're just they're walking garbage disposal. They will eat anything. As a matter of fact, after deer season is usually a good time to go after hogs, because on some of these WMAs, you know, you'll have all these guys shooting deer and leaving gut piles out there, and hogs will go after and they'll eat all that. So that's one thing. Of course, a lot of these WMAs have farmland around them or next to them. So that's always look for where they're leaving the area to go into the farms and stock out those trails.
Mm-hmm. Okay. As far as, you know, feral hog senses, anyone who's hunted them knows that their nose is their most formidable line of defense.
Right.
What about their eyesight and hearing? I mean, and I've done it, and I know you've probably done it, but a lot of times you can stalk up on a hog within 20 yards, and they have no idea that you're there if you're quiet enough.
Right. I just got back from Florida 2 weeks ago. I went to hunt some water buffalo, and I was given a real nice double African rifle Krygoff. And we were after these buffalo, and we were going through the swamp toward a buffalo. Buffalo didn't know we were there, and neither did the pigs until we jumped right up on them. And so they're just like any other animal. If you are downwind and you approach cautiously, quietly, you will get within shooting distance. So I shot one with a double African rifle. Never done that before. That was the first time I've ever seen a hog get shot once and go down and never flinch.
Right on. That's awesome.
Amazing what a 500 grain bullet will do.
So. Jeez, I bet that thing kicked a little bit.
Not as bad as you would think.
Yeah. Wow. 500 grains. Well, hey, just to kind of let's wrap things up here real quick. But I did want to talk about a couple of your more recent publications. First, and one of your more popular ones, and it's titled "And Monkeys Threw Crap at Me: Adventures in Hunting, Fishing, and Writing." Tell us a little bit about that one.
I've written for a bunch of different magazines over the years, but it's always directed at the audience. Like Sporting Classics magazine is very different audience than Outdoor Life magazine and very different than Texas Fish and Game. So I've always been kind of regulated as to what I could write. So with the book, I examined the first 10 years of going on all these hunts as a professional writer. And I just, it's more of the throwback to the Rourke and the Hemingway that I like so much. It's not only did I go shoot this thing, but I went and did this. This is what happened. And yeah, monkeys threw crap at me when I was in the Yucatan. And, you know, also in the Yucatan, well, sticking with the crap theme, I fell to the bottom of a jungle latrine all the way down. That didn't go very well.
Oh, that's nasty.
Yeah, so just wrote about things like that, and it's just, you know, my real time in the field. I really had a good time doing it, and people have said it. They're enjoying it. It's more than a hunting book. It's pretty funny, and they're liking it. So
awesome. Awesome. And then your most recent book, and this one I believe just came out this week, and it's titled Teddy Roosevelt Sasquatch Hunter. And I'll let you kind of give us a little preview of this. And all of your books are available at your website, GaineCYoung.com as well.
Right. Teddy Roosevelt came about, as I've said before, hunting books are a niche market. The hunting wild-born javelina sold a lot, a couple thousand copies, but that's just not a very broad thing. And so I was looking one day to see what other writers have done on Kindle to make some money. And one was this guy that writes all these Bigfoot books. And I read one and I was like, well, this is horrible. I'll write one that's better. And so through my history connections, I know that Teddy Roosevelt, when he was up in the Dakotas after his wife died, met up with a guy that swears he saw this thing, this Bigfoot. Of course, he didn't use the name Bigfoot. He said it was an 8-foot tall, hairy man that broke his friend's neck. And actually, it killed like 3 people in this mining camp. And you got to remember, this is before TV, internet, or anything. So how do people aren't always talking about Bigfoot. It's just these guys out in the middle of nowhere said, hey, we came across this like ape thing. So I just kind of ran with that story. Like, what if Teddy had been there when that happened? And, you know, how would he have hunted the Sasquatch? So people have told me they went in thinking because of the name it was going to be one thing, and they came back and said it was something else. They really liked it a lot. I guess my biggest supporter this week is Larry Wysoon, has said he's buying some for all his friends because he read it on the plane to Namibia, and his only complaint was it wasn't long enough.
Well, that's awesome, man. And so would you say it's kind of along the lines of Abe Lincoln, Vampire Hunter? I mean, that movie?
Yeah, the movie, you go into the movie thinking, well, this is going to be just kind of silly. And you go in, you're like, oh, this has actually got a plot and, you know, yeah, actually has a story behind it. So it's kind of the same thing. And I can't really say it's a historically accurate Sasquatch hunt because, you know, who knows if these things are there or not. But I have the weapons that TR used at the time. I have the people that he met at the time. So it's historically accurate in that regard.
Awesome. Awesome. Well, cool. I've got a copy of each. I'm going to read them, and then we'll give them away on the show later on. Give me a week or
two
here.
Well, that'd be great.
And we'll get these. And Monkeys Threw Crap at Me, and also Teddy Roosevelt, Sasquatch Hunter, your two of your more recent publications here. We'll get those into the hands of a couple of our listeners. So.
Okay, that'd be great.
And then
and I'm the only Gain on Amazon that I know of.
Awesome.
Go in there and type in Gain Young on Amazon, you'll find me.
Cool. So GaineCYoung.com, once again, the website. We certainly do appreciate it, man. And as always, we look forward to everything that, you know, all the great articles that you also produce for Dallas Safari Club. Enjoy reading Game Trails as well.
Well, those of you that are in the Dallas area, one last little plug. In January, the Dallas Safari Club convention, if you're a hog hunter, if you're a deer hunter, do not let the name Safari fool you. Last year, we had 45,000 people come through there, and it's anything and everything to do with hunting and fishing. And we've never had anybody come in there and say, well, this sucks.
Yeah.
Everybody's always been terribly surprised, and they're like, hey, this isn't just a bunch of old white guys hunting elephants. It's like, no, there's deer outfitters, hog outfitters. I can think of 3 or 4 hog outfitters that are there. You know, you can hunt them from helicopter or with night vision or with dogs if you want. So
oh, yeah.
Come on out.
Well, hey, man, great stuff today. We certainly appreciate your time gain, and we'll do it again in the future.
All right. Thank you.
All right. There he goes, our friend from Dallas Safari Club and renowned outdoor writer Gain C. Young. Let's knock out a quick break here. When we come back, it's part two of our two-week series on wilderness survival and field medicine, and we'll get into how to treat broken bones, head trauma, hypothermia, and a whole lot more when you're in the field and help is nowhere to be found. You're listening to the Lone Star Outdoor Show. 'Cause the wall's been broken, the chains ain't holding,
the line's been drawn in the sand. Hey y'all, Chris Letzinger, online sales manager at Cinnamon Creek Ranch here, reminding you we're not your typical archery club. We're a one-of-a-kind archery facility with indoor and outdoor ranges, full pro shop, and six different 3D courses. Cinnamon Creek was designed by hunters for hunters. Located in Roanoke, Texas, we have over 200 3D targets to hone your archery skills. Call 817-439-8998 or visit us at cinnamoncreekranch.com to visit our new online store. That's cinnamoncreekranch.com.
If you love hunting in the outdoors, attend the Texas Deer Association's 16th Annual Convention and Trade Show, happening this August 7th through the 9th at the JW Marriott Hill Country Resort in San Antonio. Visit over 200 exhibitors and stay for the educational seminars by industry experts, antler contest, outdoor photo contest, youth activities including hunter education certification, plus two deer auctions including the Superior Genetics Deer Auction on August 8th and Select Sale on August 9th, featuring the finest deer genetics from all over the Lone Star State. This one-of-a-kind event is open to the public and takes place again August 7th through 9th, JW Marriott Hill Country Resort in San Antonio. For more information, log on to TexasDeerAssociation.com or call 210-767-8300. Again, it's TexasDeerAssociation.com or 210-767-8300.
If you're in the market for a compact track loader, then check out the Bobcat Advantage, where Bobcat track loaders squared off against other brands in a variety of tests and challenges. Whether you're looking for performance advantages, uptime protection, or quality design, Bobcat compact track loaders are the best built machines in the industry. But don't take our word for it. Watch the videos at BobcatAdvantage.com or see Bobcat machines in person at Bobcat of Dallas Lewisville, Bobcat of Fort Worth, and Bobcat of Longview. Visit BobcatOfDallas.com or call 469-586-0000 today.
You wouldn't take a mule to the Kentucky Derby, and you wouldn't go swimming with your boots on. So why do folks wear mossy green camo to hunt the Great Southwest? Game Guard Camouflage is celebrating 10 years of putting hunters undercover in the rugged Texas terrain. Owner Craig Smith invites you to visit a dealer near you to check out the full line of hunting apparel, caps, bags, coolers, gun cases, dove hunting belts, and the newly designed microfiber shirts. Available in 13 different colors. So whether you're hunting, camping, fishing, or just enjoying the great outdoors, Game Guard has you covered. Visit GameGuard.net to find a dealer near you or call 888-381-4263. Game Guard, the official camo of the Lone Star Outdoors Show.
Hey folks, Mike Iaconelli. I want to thank you for listening to the Lone Star Outdoor Show.
Climb on board a bus, grab your bunk. One on the bottom is the one you want. Let's rock and roll as you roll down the road. Plug John Wayne in a VCR.
One of my all-time favorites there, Life on the Road, from Jerry Jeff Walker, bringing us back on the Lone Star Outdoor Show, presented by Lone Star Beer and our friends over at Hoff Power Polaris. This segment of the show, by the way, proudly brought to you by STI Guns. Texas made and Texas proud. They're based out of Georgetown, and they've got a full line of 1911 and 2011 style pistols in all calibers. Check them out at STIGuns.com. And if you're thinking about a new handgun, do what I did and go Texan, go STI. Well, our next guest actually joins us now for part two of our two-week series on wilderness, survival, and field medicine. If you tuned in last week, we covered how to deal with snake bites, open wounds, and various other things while you're in the field. And keep in mind that all of this pertains to those situations where help is nowhere to be found. Today, we're going to focus on broken bones, head trauma, hypothermia, and heat exhaustion. And so without further ado, let's welcome back the author of the Survival Medicine Handbook, Dr. Joe Alton, a.k.a. Dr. Bones. Thanks for being here.
Thanks, Cable. It's always great to be on the show.
Yes, sir. Certainly glad to have you back, Dr. Bones. I guess, first of all, let's start out with hypothermia, something that is quite common in those remote places, you know, during the coldest time of the year. And for anyone who hunts Western big game, this is also, you know, something that could be a real threat if disaster did strike. And you know, heat exhaustion is on the other end of the spectrum, and we'll talk about that momentarily. But what steps should be taken once you realize that you or possibly your hunting or fishing partner is starting to show signs of hypothermia?
That's a condition in which the body core goes below 95 degrees Fahrenheit. That is a condition that mostly you'll find in outdoor settings, as you can imagine. From a prevention standpoint, it always makes a lot of sense to watch the amount of overexertion that you do in cold weather, simply because you wind up sweating and you wind up getting wet. And wet and cold is a surefire recipe for hypothermia. Of course, dressing appropriately, these are good preventative things to do. And of course, you know, good hydration. Now, once you get below 95 degrees, your body core, and of course the temperature of your brain is also about this at about this point too, your body core reacts by slowing things down. So, and that includes your brain. And so since your brain is working more slowly, what's happening is your mental status is changing. You wind up becoming sort of lethargic, and you wind up reacting more slowly than you should to stimuli. And you should also see in someone who's hypothermic that sort of an apathy. I mean, they know they're freezing to death, and they really don't care. So this is something that I think is a big issue, because once you've reached the point that you are hypothermic, unless somebody's there to help you, then you might really be beyond the brink there. And by the way, I just want to say, for if you are on the trail in cold weather, if you come across anyone who is not conscious, that person is hypothermic until proven otherwise. So treat them as if they're hypothermic. So some of the things that you would need to do, I think that would be most important to you, but I'll of course get the person out of the cold if you could. Of course, on the trail, it's not going to be possible. But if they have wet clothing, you want to try to take that off if you have dry clothing that you can put on them. Because if they're wearing wet clothing, then they're going to have a lot of trouble getting core warmer again. You want to keep an eye on them in terms of their body heat. If you can give them dry, warm compresses, or cover them with a warm blanket, I think that that's going to be important. By the way, if you only have a limited ability to get warmth to them, let's say you just have a few heat packs, put them in areas where the blood vessels run closest to the skin so that you'll more effectively transport this heat into the body core. And the places where that happens would be in the armpit area, would be in the neck area next to the carotid, you know, the main arteries there, mm-hmm. and in the groin. So those are places that you would definitely want to get some warmth to. And also, you might not be the warm and cuddly type, but you should probably take off some of your clothes and spoon with this person and get some body heat to them, cover yourself, both yourselves up with blankets. And that, believe it or not, is actually a pretty good way to get them to warm up. So this is something that I think is important. One thing I do want to warn you against, though, is try not to apply direct heat, because people who are hypothermic oftentimes have some damage to the skin. They may be beginning to get frostbite, things like that. And damaged skin, if you have like a heat lamp or something like that, that may wind up causing more problems than what you started with.
Okay, Dr. Bones, a great insight there. And then on the opposite end of the spectrum, and something that's very common where I live in Texas, And also, I know you're based out of Florida, and we're no strangers to heat. And along with that comes, you know, the potential for heat exhaustion. So talk about treating that condition while you're afield.
And what you need to do in these circumstances is, I think, first of all, well, get them out of the heat. But number two, I would get some cold, moist, or cool, moist compresses. Instead of dry, warm compresses for exposure to cold, for heat exhaustion, I would get some cool, moist compresses. Put them in those. You can put them in those same areas. And I'm talking about you're on the trail. I mean, you can't put them in a tub of cool water.
Right.
If you're at home by the pool, throw them in the pool or put them in a tub of cool water. But if you're on the trail, you have limited ability to get cool temperatures to them. Same places, the neck, the armpit, and the groin area with cool, moist compresses. That's going to be important. Of course, take clothing off, as much clothing as they have. Elevate. Of course, these people can go into shock, and so you want to lift their legs above the level of their heart, which is what we call the shock position, about 12 inches above the level of their heart, and that would be also a good thing for their circulation. Fan them, ventilate them in some way, and that helps evaporate heat off them. And so these are some of the things that would be important. Now, one thing that I have to warn, this warning is about oral fluids. Now, of course, you would think that it would be appropriate to give cool liquids to someone who is in heat exhaustion, but that's only if the person is absolutely, completely awake and alert. If that person is fuzzy or not really functioning, or maybe less than completely conscious, they could easily have that those fluids go down their windpipe instead of their esophagus, and you can wind up causing damage to their lungs. So you be careful about that.
Okay, so get cool water or compresses on the those areas of groin, armpits, neck. Moving on here, something else that's very common in those remote settings is broken bones. And, you know, accidents do happen. And let's operate under the premise that you just have a very basic first aid kit with you. Or maybe you don't have one at all. But I imagine fastening some kind of splint is going to be, you know, the top priority.
You're absolutely right, Cable. I think immobilization is one of the main things that is important. It's very possible that a fracture could be very easy to see. I mean, obviously, if the arm is not pointing in the right direction that it does naturally, then obviously it's a fracture. But sometimes you're not sure. I mean, it could be a bad sprain, could be a fracture, and it's sometimes difficult to tell these things. But immobilization is going to be key to prevent further damage to these areas. So what you want to do is an awesome thing to have one of those 36-inch SAM splints that are moldable, and you can cut it to the size and shape that you need. They weigh next to nothing, and they take up very little space in your kit. And I think that would be very useful. If you don't have that, just a couple of sticks, two or three sticks, put it around, let's say, a injured ankle, and just tie those together with duct tape, which I recommend everybody have some duct tape on the trail, or of course strips of cloth or whatever, or paracord, whatever you might have, anything that would work to immobilize the area. Some people, if at home, for example, if something happens in the backyard, they will take a pillow and just wrap it around the ankle and wrap it with duct tape, and that actually give some support and certainly some protection. So those things are important. I think some people, the big question that I get with regards to this is, how can I tell without having an x-ray whether I've got a fracture or a sprain? And there are a few ways that you can tell that. Usually a fracture is going to be a degree or two more painful than, of course, a sprain. I mean, you can be helped off the field with a sprain, but you know you're going to have to be carried off the field if you have a fracture. Now, sprains produce swelling and bruising, but if it's a very pronounced swelling and bruising, a lot of swelling, in the area, that's more likely a fracture than a sprain. If you rub your hand along the bone and press a little bit as you're running along that area, as you get close to the area that's in question, you might feel a grinding sensation. If that's the case, you may have fractured that area. Of course, a deep cut in the area, right? Yes. A deep cut in the area of the injury, that's also a sign of a fracture where maybe the bone had broken through the skin and then gone back in. That's a very dangerous kind of fracture. We call it an open, or in the past they called it a compound fracture.
Sure.
And that's very dangerous because you've got all this bacteria that's now in the bloodstream and in the bone marrow, possibly, and that could be really dangerous. And of course, if you've got motion of a bone in an area where there's no joint, that, you know, if you've got five knuckles suddenly on your index finger, you probably broke that finger.
Right, right. Well, last thing here, as we are running out of time, but Dr. Bones, let's talk about head trauma. You know, maybe you fall down a rock slide. Maybe you fall out of your tree stand, or maybe you're canoeing or kayaking. You hit a little white water, and you or, you know, your buddy flies out and smacks their dome on a rock. So in that situation, and all this, you know, is becoming more and more common due in large part to the NFL bringing head injuries to the forefront. But what should be done in those situations where you're in the wilderness and a potential head trauma has occurred?
Well, luckily, most head injuries are only going to result in a cut on the scalp, or what we call a laceration, or a swelling at the point of impact. And the thing is that your face and your scalp are very well supplied with blood vessels. And so the bleeding from cuts in this area could be very impressive, but in most cases, it doesn't have to signify any internal damage. And so this is something that I want people to know just to start off with. However, there are some signs in which you could tell that somebody that may be at risk. And of course, you mentioned loss of, you implied loss of consciousness here, and that indeed is one. If you have somebody who has lost consciousness for, let's say, a very brief time, a couple of minutes maybe, and then they wake up, they need to be very closely observed. We call a head injury of this type a concussion. I mean, everybody knows about that. And this person will awake pretty foggy. Sometimes they don't even remember how the injury occurred or the events that occurred just beforehand. But you've got to evaluate this person to see if they have normal function. And so what you would do in this person is you would ask some questions, find out if they're oriented. In other words, do they know who they are? They know where they are, things like that. You want to know that they're able, that nothing has happened that has affected their nerve function. So let's say you would have them grasp two of your fingers in each of their hands, and then you try to pull it, tell them to hold on as tightly as they can and try to pull it away, and just make sure that their strength is equal on each side. So that I think is important. You've got to make sure they get rest. Some people say to don't let them fall asleep. I say that you can let them fall asleep, but once every 2 or 3 hours, you should wake them up just to make sure that they can be aroused and have them develop other danger signs. Some of the danger signs that they'll have, of course, a lot of these people feel vaguely nauseous and confused, but if you notice that they start having bruises or bleeding around their eyes, ears, or nose, especially if these areas weren't directly the site of impact, I mean, that could be a sign that there may be bleeding inside the cranium, the hard part of your skull, which contains the brain. Mm-hmm. And if you notice one pupil is more dilated than the other in a person who had an injury, that's a big problem. Of course, there's an indentation in the skull. That person has probably an open skull fracture, is in big trouble. So this is something that is important. If you don't lose consciousness, they may have a headache, and they certainly could require treatment for superficial injuries. But after observing them, hopefully a head injury without loss of consciousness won't be serious. However, they have to be observed because some of this, if there's a very slow bleed inside the brain, something we can call, it's called the subdural hemorrhage in some cases, that can take place over a period of hours. And that's why I say over 24 to 48 hours, you really need to watch this person closely.
Well, very well, Dr. Bones. Great insight today. As always, we certainly do appreciate you joining us back-to-back weeks for this two-part mini-series on field medicine and wilderness survival. And by the way, folks can check out your book, The Survival Medicine Handbook. They can get that on Amazon or go to your website at doomandbloom.net. You and your wife, Nurse Amy, also have a great podcast and a Facebook page as well. So, folks, y'all check that out. Thanks again, Dr. Bones. We do appreciate it, and we'll do this again sometime in the future, I'm sure.
I appreciate it, Cable. Thanks for having me on.
All right, there he goes. Field care survival expert, Dr. Joe Alton, a.k.a. Dr. Bones. I tell you what, let's take a quick break here. With early teal season only 6 weeks away, my goodness, it's creeping up on us. But we'll talk some duck hunting, and we'll do that with the legendary Duck G from G&H Decoys, our good friend. And we have got an awesome giveaway coming up after the break for all the waterfowlers out there. Stay tuned for details. You're listening to the Lone Star Outdoor Show.
Life is a gamble, a game we all play. But you need to save something for rainy day. You've got to learn.
Ben Lofton Fencing is Texas' premier fencing company. They apply a design it right, build it right the first time mindset to all projects. And with 15 plus years experience, there's no job they won't tackle. Ben Lofton Fencing specializes in deer and exotic game fences, breeder and handling facilities, water gaps, as well as farm and ranch fences and corrals and working pens. Better Business Bureau certified, they offer the quality and personal service you expect. So for your next fencing project, go Texan and call Mr. Lofton himself at 254-709-1320 or visit benloftonfencing.com.
Do you have a hog problem at your ranch or deer lease? We have the solution. The System Hog Trap comes in two sizes, 17-foot and 30-foot diameter traps. After you trap the hogs, take the top section off the trap and use it for another feeder site to keep the hogs away from the feeder. The System is both a trap and a deer food plot fence. That way you don't waste your money on just a hog trap. Call 940-391-3669 or visit www.goinfencing.com. That's goinfencing.com.
Hey, North Texas sports fans, this is Brian Spagnola, General Manager of Texas Motor Cars in Addison. My family's been in the car business for over 50 years, and I want to show you the difference in buying from a family-owned and operated business. TexasMotorCars.com is an awesome website that lets you do virtually all of your shopping online. We have a professional photographer that takes amazing photos, and we give you all the information that you'll need up front. You can even find out how much we will give you for your trade-in before you ever come in. I take pride in the fact you can come in, choose a car, and be out in less than an hour. We have financing rates starting at 1.79% on pre-owned vehicles and can help almost anybody. Please do yourself a favor. If you're in the market for a pre-owned vehicle of any kind, give us a shot. Let me show you how easy buying a vehicle should be. Visit TexasMotorCars.com or come visit our 20,000 square foot indoor showroom in Addison. Again, visit TexasMotorCars.com or call us at 1-888-9-TX-MOTORS.
Rockwall Marine is North Texas' premier boat dealership, offering the finest lineup of fishing boats anywhere. Mercury, Yamaha, Evinrude, Basscat, Alumacraft, and War Eagle, also specializing in all aspects of rigging, from power poles and electronics to motors and trolling motors. So whether you're looking for a new or used boat, parts or service, Rockwall Marine is your one-stop boating center and the nation's number one Basscat dealer in 2013. Call Tommy Yetz at 972-771-4442 or visit rockwallmarine.com.
My name is Jim Murphy, won't you buy me whiskey? For I have a sad story to tell about a young man who delivered his companions straight to those fiery gates of hell just to save himself from a prison cell.
Cable Smith, welcoming everybody back to the Lone Star Outdoor Show presented by Lone Star Beer and Hoff Power Polaris. There's a little Mark David Manders for you on a lovely, lovely Lone Star weekend. I do appreciate everybody tuning in as we are about to get into a little waterfowling here as hunting season is fast approaching. But first, this segment is proudly brought to you by Lone Star Beer, the national beer of Texas. September 1st is the Dove opener, y'all, and I tell you what, my brute box is going to be loaded down with Lone Star beer in the Game Guard camo can. Available again this hunting season from Lone Star Beer. Check it out. Lone Star Beer, the national beer of Texas. Oh, and just to be clear, the beer drinking will be going on after the dove hunting. I'm not advocating mixing guns and firearms, so y'all don't go thinking that. Without further delay, however, let's go ahead and welcome our next guest. His family has owned G&H Decoys for, gosh, going on over 80 years now, I believe. But it is my pleasure to welcome our good friend, Mr. Duck G, to the show.
Yes, thank you.
You betcha. And Duck, let's start off with a brief history lesson here. How long has your family been making waterfowl decoys?
Well, first off, I've been around since grass has been growing myself. It started in 1934 when the federal migratory people outlawed the use of live birds, crippled birds. You'd nurture them, good health, tie a string on them, get back in blind. And when they, when the geese flew over, you pull a cord and you get the you get the squawk. And they outlawed that in 1933. That's when the federal migratory stamp was required. And my dad and grandfather were hunters, avid, waterfowl hunters. And they said, what are we going to do? And my dad came up with, I think I'll just make a decoy. Well, that was kind of an outside gesture. And lo and behold, he fiddled around his shop in the back of the house there and came up with the hen redden decoy, and it's growing since then.
Yeah. Well, yeah, and to say that the decoy industry has changed is an understatement. I mean, you guys are basically one of the last, maybe the last, 100% American-made decoy. Most of the other ones have all been outsourced to China and Taiwan and other places.
That's correct. We're one of the last American-made decoys. There's a few smaller companies that crop up every once in a while, but we're the last of the majors.
Uh-huh. What is, you've been doing this, like we said, a long time. What's your favorite duck to hunt to this day?
Dead one. Yeah.
Right on.
Oh, I like, of course, the Mallard series more prevalent here in Oklahoma, and then you get into your Widgeon and Gadwall and what have you, but the Mallards.
Well, as waterfowlers, one of the biggest problems that we face every season are those calm, still bluebird days where there's little or no wind and you're spread no matter what decoys you're using. They look like, a motionless decoy spread.
They're kind of complacent, huh?
Yeah, and so everyone's looking for how to get motion added into their spread, how to make it look more lifelike. And obviously, I'm a big fan of y'all's decoys. As far as realism goes, they can't be beat. They're durable. I've been using them for four seasons now. And I'm really excited about a brand new motion decoy that y'all are releasing for the upcoming season. So tell us a little bit about the G&H Decoys Navigator.
Yeah, we have two items there. We have a floating, having different species, having the Mallard, the Gadwall, the Widgeon, Pintail, and then we've added the divers to it, and it's a swimming decoy. It has a computer chip in it, and what it does, it's timed at random. It'll go left, right, go straight ahead, turn, and puts nice waves out. You mentioned a while ago about those still days. If they'll check our website, ghdecoy.com, they'll see a video we made on that, showing that same thing you mentioned there, about the calm days, and then it comes on with the activity going on. That's a must early in the morning when there's no wind. You're very correct on that. But the Navigator has two C batteries, will last about a half day's hunt. Then you can use rechargeables, and they're awesome. They really are. I'm not saying it because we came up with the idea or manufacture of it, but it's something the hunters need, especially on those still mornings.
Mm-hmm.
It can be it's available on our website, and they're taking orders now for it, but the delivery will be the first of the month.
Right, right. And you mentioned, but there's two models. I mean, all different species available, puddlers, divers, but you also have the feeding duck butt.
Yes.
And that's the other option.
Yes, that's right. We have that in the mallard hen and the pintail hen. And it really creates more motion than the swimming decoy. It has a computer chip in it also, and it will take off and swim forward like it's chasing the feed. It'll turn left or right, and also puts a spray up on the back of it. And it makes a lot of the water. In fact, it makes so much turbulation in the water compared to move your other decoys. And there's one thing that you have to watch with it. It moves around so much, you got to watch your other decoys with a decoy anchor cord on it, because it will get wound up. But you keep them, you know, 5 or 6 feet apart. And they look very realistic. It, you know, it's just like you see the duck out there with his tail up, you know, chasing his feet, what have you. It's very realistic, and it's showing on our video showing on our website, gnhdecoy.com.
Right, right. Well, yeah, and the cool thing about these is you just attach them, you know, you rig them like you would your regular decoys, put a weight on there.
Right.
And that decoy, it's going to go wherever it wants to go, but it's still going to remain anchored to the bottom.
Yes. What you do, you leave, you find the depth of the water. Say it's 8 feet. The water's 8 feet. You add about 2 feet to it, or 2.5 feet to it, to give it to make a circle. And see, when the string lines out, that automatically makes it come back. And then all of this time it's doing this different navigating back and forth around the circles and what have you, and making the waves, which, like I say, moves other decoys too.
Right, right. Now, you do know that the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service released their pond counts, and duck numbers are up 8% across the board. So looks like we're going to have a pretty good season. And based on what the guys at Delta Waterfowl told me, Central Flyway looks like it's going to be maybe a banner year for us.
Yeah, it is. And we also have water this year. That's one thing. It's, you know, it's God saying there that the ducks are smart. If they don't see water, they know there's no feed, and they head on past Oklahoma down to you guys in Texas. You know, we give them to you.
Yes, sir. And we will continue to take them. And speaking of giving, Duck, let's go ahead and give away a brand new GNH Navigator this morning. And we'll let the winner choose whether they want the feeding motion decoy or if they want the swimming motion decoy, the all-new Navigator. And, Duck, I've got a great trivia question here this morning, a waterfowl-related one. How about, for the listeners out there, the third person to text in what year the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service banned the use of lead shot for hunting waterfowl? And the first person to text in the correct year for when the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service banned lead shot for waterfowl hunting, we'll let you pick out your own GNH Decoys Navigator. How about that for a trivia question, Duck?
That's a good one.
All right, I think so, too. And the text line, as always, is 214-289-7807. That's 214-289-7807. Duck, I appreciate your contribution to the show, as always. I'm looking forward to another great duck season using GNH decoys. I couldn't give you a bigger seal of approval. By far the best decoys I've ever used.
Cable, I appreciate your compliments there, and look forward to do some hunting myself.
Thanks, Duck. Take care.
Thank you, sir.
All right, there he goes, the legend, Duck G of GNH Decoys, where you always get your duck's worth. And also, the phone number for any of you cavemen out there who still don't know how to use the internet, if you want to order the all-new Navigator, you can call 1-800-443-3269, or you can just go to their website at ghdecoys.com. Well, man, we are out of time for today. Thanks to Duck G, as well as our other guests today, Chris Lutzinger of Cinnamon Creek Ranch, outdoor writer Gain Young of Dallas Safari Club, and of course, Dr. Bones as well. Coming up next week, we've got Elite Series Pro and Major League Fishing's Jason Christie already booked, so you'll want to tune in for that as we'll talk some bass fishing. Thanks to you, the listener, for being a part of the Lone Star Outdoors Show. Thanks to all of our sponsors for making this show possible. Until next time, I'm Cable Smith saying, y'all have a great week in the outdoors. I love this day, you know I do.
I do. But the best thing in this state is you. I love you even more than I love Texas.
Lone Star 4x4 has everything you need to customize your Jeep, truck, or SUV the way you want it. They install lift kits, leveling kits, wheels, tires, bed liners, as well as color match spray line accessories, full exterior sprayed vehicles, fenders, steps, LED lights, light bars, car audio, brush guards, steel bumpers, goosenecks, toolboxes, performance exhaust, you name it, they have it. No job is too big or too small at Lone Star 4x4. Call 940-484-5500 or visit LoneStar4x4.com. That's LoneStar4by4.com or check out their most recent builds on Facebook.
BioBore EB is the premier gasoline additive that combats the negative effects ethanol has on an engine. Its comprehensive formula is designed to protect marine engines and marine environments, yet also works great in all 2- and 4-stroke engines. It prevents phase separation and ethanol-related engine problems while stabilizing fuel for 18 months. BioBore's detergents also clean the entire fuel system of carbon and varnishes. BioBore EB has the best treat rate in the industry. 1 ounce treats an amazing 15 gallons of gas. Available at your local sporting goods store or visit BioBore.com today.
Howdy, folks. I'm Lee Hoffbauer for Hoffbauer's Outdoor Superstore in Gulfway, Texas. We hope you love listening to the Lone Star Outdoor Show because we do, and we're proud to be a title sponsor. Now, listen up. We here at Hoffbauer Outdoor Superstore have got some great deals for you folks that love the great outdoors. Whether you're needing a brand new Polaris ATV or maybe a Polaris Ranger to ride around, check your deer feeders, get to and from the deer blind, maybe to get you down to the dove patch, whatever your needs are, we can fix you up with a brand new Polaris today. Now, we're also a New Holland tractor and equipment dealer. Now, I'm just speculating, but maybe you need a new tractor and shredder to shred around your deer blinds, maybe clean up around deer camp, or maybe even shred a few lanes in those sunflower patch. Now, we've got lots more than just Polaris and New Holland, so come check us out today, Hoffbauer's Outdoor Superstore in Gulfway, Texas. You can check us out on the web at hpolaris.com. Better yet, just come see us. Highway 84 West in Gulfway, Texas, and in Central Texas for over 48 years now. And folks, we couldn't have stuck around this long. We were steering you wrong.
Cable Smith here for the Seat Shop. That outdoor lifestyle we all love, yeah, it can be pretty rough on the interior of our trucks. That's why I trust my friends at the Seat Shop. Is your driver's seat ripped where you slide in and out of your truck or SUV? They can replace that one cover, and the new leather is guaranteed to match your factory interior. Or if you want to overhaul your full front row or your entire interior like I did, the Seat Shop can definitely take care of you. And if you're looking for something to protect your leather, they've got the new Carhartt seat covers as well. Perfect for hauling gear, guns, and dogs around. Guys, the Seat Shop is a great family-owned company who really knows their stuff, and their old-fashioned customer service is a hard thing to find these days. I had a great time working with them, and I know you will too. So visit theseatshop.com or give them a call at 214-710-2565 today.